Good to be with you all this morning. Stephen had asked a few weeks ago if I would like to teach a Sunday school, and so here I am. And I'd been thinking quite a bit on this passage from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17, and thought this would be a really good place to start as we're kind of coming to the end of this year, 2018, and as we're approaching 2019. My thought for this is that this would be really more than anything an encouragement to us to keep pressing forward in our walk with the Lord and with one another. And so that's the hope, is that this is an encouragement to you all. It has been encouraging to me to study this and to keep thinking through this as my thoughts keep growing in this way. So let's read this passage, John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17, and then we'll look at it together. Jesus says here, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abide in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch, and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, we ask that you would be that your spirit would be upon your word, Lord, that it would go forth from me, Lord, and that you would be glorified, that you would build up your saints, that you would encourage us in our faith in Christ, Lord, and our love for one another. Lord, please use these words to help awaken our souls and to glorify you and to give us much joy. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, this passage, to me, has been a passage that I come back to a lot. And it might be because I'm a gardener. It is just something that resonates with me. It's pictures and things that I see of some of these truths when I'm pruning or gardening that make you think of passages like this. And just think this is a beautiful, very powerful picture that God gives us here, that Jesus gives us. In John 15. So that's kind of my main point here, is that there is a powerful relationship between abiding in Christ, bearing fruit, and loving one another. And I think this passage is really clear in this. If you want to go back at some point, Pastor Ben actually taught on this passage about 3 years ago or so, back when we were at the old building, obviously. was very good. I went and listened to it. He said some really good things in there. I'm going to approach it a little bit differently, and I'm kind of adding verses 12 through 17, where he kind of stopped at verses 1 through 11. But that one was very, very good, and I would recommend, if you didn't hear that, to go back and listen to that as well. So, like Stephen said in his sermon a few weeks ago, this is a figure of speech. And that sermon really kind of made me more excited about talking about this this morning. Jesus here, when he says, "I am the true vine," he is not saying that he is actually literally physically a vine. This is a metaphor. Jesus is using a comparison, in this case, a grapevine, to show a comparison of a truth of who he is, and a truth of who the Father is as the vine dresser, and a truth of who we are as branches, or as his children, or his followers. So keep that in mind as we look about this. I'm going to talk about a little bit of imagery that you see in grapevines and in pruning grapevines. I've not actually really pruned grapevines before myself, but a lot of pruning principles relate and kind of go across the board for most pruning. But in some videos and things that I read about pruning grapevines and how they grow, just really amazing things that relate back to who Christ is here and who we are in him. So I'm going to hit on a few of those things as well. So what does it mean here that Jesus says, "I am the true vine"? He is the one who gives life. He is the one that we come truly to God through. I think in this passage, he doesn't talk about a false vine, but I think it's pretty clear in thinking through this, reading through the book of John, and really all of the Gospels, that you do kind of see a comparison. And I think with the scribes and Pharisees in particular, Jesus constantly is warning against, even rebuking the scribes and Pharisees for basically what they have is an outward religion. They have an inward self-righteousness. They're trying to keep the law, and their thinking is that's making them right with God. And Jesus comes as a man. He starts his ministry, and he plows right through that and says that he is the true vine. There's only one way to have true life in God, and that is through him and in him. And so I think the contrast here, one of the contrasts, is that Jesus is showing his disciples here that beware of having a religion that is not rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, where you're not abiding in him daily, because it's really easy, and I think this is a clear example that we can see in our day. We can come to church, we can have all the right doctrine, we can believe all the right things, but if we are not abiding in Christ, then we really don't have what we need to have to be honoring God, to glorify God, and to have true joy. It must be in him, and he makes that very clear here in this passage. So that's kind of the contrast, is just making sure, reminding ourselves that we're not here just to hold certain doctrinal truths. This is about a relationship with Jesus Christ in a person. With Jesus being the true vine and his Father being the vine dresser, one of the things that I noticed when I was looking at grapevines and orchard, with a vineyard, this is really an amazing picture. So when you have one main vine, different vineyards do it different ways, but it seems like one of the main ways they do it is when you have a vineyard, when you have a vine, there's one main vine in a grapevine that comes up from the ground. And then as that vine is allowed to grow up, it starts off as a young shoot, and then it is trained down a trellis. So it's topped, it's pruned, and then you have buds that form, and those are called what are called cordons, or two main arms that go out onto the trellis or wire, whatever they would tie it to. Off of those two arms are what all of the branches that bear fruit grow off of. I was just blown away by that imagery, just in looking at some pictures and listening to some vine dressers talk about this. So you have one main vine that comes up and these two arms that come off of the vine. And then you have these branches that grow off that are pruned, and those are what continually will produce fruit as the vine dresser prunes correctly to then bear more fruit and more fruit and more fruit. One of the things that Pastor Ben said in his lesson on this a few years ago was they got to actually go to a vineyard, I think it was in Italy, and the vine dresser was walking around, and he said that they had been growing grapes off of those same vines since like 1967. It's like 50 years. It's lasting. These vines can last for a long time and just continually bearing fruit for 50 years. I mean, I'm 38. I've not even been alive for 50 years. So that's really amazing to think. That's almost a lifetime for some people, or half a lifetime, that these vines are continuing to bear fruit. So one of the things that Jesus talks about here as he starts off is that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. In pruning and pruning correctly, I think we see sometimes outdoors, you will see, particularly up here on the north side of town, I notice this a lot. Has anybody gone through and seen places where trees have just been topped? Like somebody's gone through and like topped every branch on it, and it's almost like down to a nub. That is not real pruning. That's actually causing that tree to be stressed, to cause it to allow diseases to get in. If there's any kind of drought the next year or two, that tree is more susceptible to dying very quickly. That is not the type of pruning that the Father does with us. True pruning is, it's love. When we prune out in gardens, we love those plants. We want to prune those plants rightly because we want them to be productive. We want those rose bushes to bear more blooms, to be beautiful throughout the year. You want to see these plants, or in this case, these vines, these branches thrive. And this is just so amazing to me that as a, you know, physical gardener, pruner, we make mistakes. I make mistakes in pruning. A lot of times we would go in and correctively prune where somebody else has made mistakes and we're trying to help this plant get better. But in this case, the vine dresser is our Father in heaven. He is perfect. And he never makes a mistake in his pruning of us. His pruning is love. It's his love for us. And as we're looking through this, just think about, in so many of these ways, this is the love of God that he's showing us. Understanding that his pruning of us to bear more fruit is his love, and that there's different types of pruning. There's winter pruning. In winter pruning, which most vineyards I think are about to get started on here in the next week or so, it's a very hard pruning. A lot of the old growth from the last year is going to be pruned way back to where off of those two main arms that come out, you're going to have the branches that come up, and they're going to prune those back to just a couple new buds. And those new buds are going to be what branches come off the next year, this next growing season, to produce the fruit. And remember, too, as I listen to some of these vine dressers talk, the idea is it's about the quality of the fruit. They want to see the grape clusters be quality grapes. So this isn't done in haste. It's done very carefully. And that's the way our Father deals with us, whether it's through trials, whether we're dealing with sin in our lives. We've been given the gifts of repentance and faith where we can turn from our sin and turn back to him. We can have winter times of the soul where there's a season of where we don't feel like we're really growing very much. But as we will see here, in abiding in Christ, there is, whether you've been pruned back really hard or whether it's an in-season pruning where the vines are growing or the branches are growing and they're being tipped, and so extra growth and they're being trained and conformed to the trellis so that they go where the vine dresser go that has them go where they want him to. It's being connected to the vine. There is not so much, I think, an order here with abiding in Christ, bearing much fruit, and loving one another, as there's one central thing that's always happening, and that's our abiding in Christ. That's constantly happening. Those branches never stop abiding in, continuing in, staying in the main vine. And so whether that vine's being pruned hard or not, there's a continuing in the love of God in Jesus Christ. And then there are seasons where we're bearing fruit and more fruit, and we're loving one another. So that's the constant. That's kind of the key. Like Stephen said in the sermon a few weeks ago, when you deal with parables or metaphors like this, there's a key. I think this one is very clear. Jesus says it multiple times over and over again in this passage. John says it in his writings over and over again, from this book to 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Abiding in Christ is key. That's the key. So what does it mean to abide in Christ? I heard recently somebody say, so this isn't my quote, but I thought it was really helpful the way they said this. We could look at this as a day-to-day reliance upon Christ. As we are going about our business, as we are going about our day, whether it's at work or whether it's at home with children or whether it's in meetings or whatever we're doing, there is this daily, constant abiding in Christ. And that's not to say that we're going to do this like perfectly every second of every day. Like, what I'm not saying is that we constantly, like every second of day, every day, we have to think about Jesus Christ. This is a heart attitude, a heart disposition to go about our days in a real sense. We are relying upon Jesus Christ, who he is, what he has done for us, and staying in him. This is not easy. I've been a believer now for over 12, 13 years or so, and this is a hard thing to do. It's not something that we, it's something that we can assume. It's not something that we need to assume. This is something that we have to constantly be doing. Like, this is one of the main things as believers that we do is are seeking to abide in him. So where do we start with that? Well, we've just come out of this last year, thinking about this being 2018, we're moving to 2019. We just, a while back, finished up our core value series. One of the things, our first main core value, does anybody remember what it is? Love God. And one of the main ways we talked about was loving God through the word and prayer. That's where we start, individually, personally, and even with each other. We start with the word of God. That's where we most clearly see Jesus Christ is in God's word. It's in his word. He is the word. We've just talked about that recently. I mean, we've been celebrating that here this last month. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Where do we learn that? We learn it in the scriptures. So starting off our days with quiet times is a very helpful way to begin your day abiding in Christ. And there's lots of different tools. We've talked about this in other Sunday schools and stuff. There's good books that can help you get started. There's yearly scripture reading plans. But as you're in the scriptures, this type of looking is looking to find Jesus Christ. It's looking to know him better, to understand him better, to love him more. So we start in the scriptures, we start in the word, and we start prayerfully. This is one of the things that happens in the vine. There's an internal thing that's happening, and this is one of the things I don't want to look at this so much as like an order, like step one, abide in Christ, step two, bear fruit, step three, love one another. This is organic. This is an inward and an outward thing going on. I mean, what's flowing through that vine to give life to those arms and then those branches? There's vital nutrients. There's things that are going on inside of the vine that are causing those branches, as they abide in the vine, to grow and bear fruit. That's where they're getting their nourishment, coming down from the soil and going up and going out. So that's what's happening here. Inwardly, this is communion with Christ. This is union with him. This is the essence of Christianity, is union with Christ. In a supernatural way, we abide in him because he has first loved us, and he, as he has saved us, has indwelt us with his Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit is living in us and is helping us. I mean, you can go back and read John 14, John 16. Jesus talks before and after this passage about the helper that he's going to send. And he's indwelt in every single believer. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, you have been indwelt by the Spirit of God. So you're not really doing this on your own. He's helping you. He's teaching you what the scriptures say. You can open up the word and pray to God to open up this scripture to you, to know him better. And if you are his, he will help you to know him. He will open your eyes to see him in his word. My thought is, and this is for myself too, and I wonder about for others, is how much do we really attempt that? I think we want to run to, you know, bearing the fruit and loving one another, and then we get frustrated when I'm not seeing fruit in my life, and I'm not, I'm just having a hard time loving my kids, I'm having a hard time loving people in my community group, I'm having a hard time, you know, we struggle with that, right? And then we get frustrated, but are we missing the main thing? And I think for me, I could easily say that the place that I put the least amount of effort in at times is seeking to abide in Christ. So again, as an encouragement, let's do that together. Let's really attempt to abide in him together. What do you do if you're here, though, and you are not the Lord's? If you realize that you've never known him, that you do not abide in him, that you never have, what hope is there for you here? Because he does talk about branches that are in him, that are in the church, that are dead branches, that one day will be cut down and will be burned up because they're useless. I don't think those branches are going to be burned on this day. I think that's in the day that will to come. So there's hope for you right now, but what must you do? You must be born again. You must be born again. In this metaphor, when you think about having life in something, having life in this vine, how do you get that life? You can't produce it. You're just a branch. You're a dead branch. How do you produce it? Well, you have to be budded anew. He gives you life. He makes you a live branch by giving you a new birth. And as you form as a bud, now you can begin to grow and bear fruit. So I would encourage you, if you are here and you know that you've never really abided in Christ, maybe you've been in church your whole life. Look, I was in church. I grew up in church my whole life. I would have said I was a believer. I was baptized when I was 8 years old or so. I was a good kid. I grew up, I stayed pretty good through college. I never did any drugs, never did anything bad. But the Lord began to convict me towards the end of college that what I thought I had was really, it was just religion. It was what good church-going kids do. You continue on. But the realization came to me that I never really was in Christianity because I loved Jesus Christ, that I had a love for him. I never really understood that or knew his love for me. So the Lord worked on me and he converted me. Out of that, out of a good church life, but I didn't have life in him. So there is hope for you. There's always hope for you. Call upon the name of the Lord. He will save you and he will bring you in and he will begin to give you life as a new believer to then go about and bearing much fruit. And let's say for the fruit here, and Pastor Ben talked about this too in his Sunday school in this. It obviously really quickly, I think you can think about the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And these are not things that are born off of ourselves. To bear fruit, again, that's what I say. I don't want to say this is a step one, step two, because we don't look to Christ for a time and then we just, okay, now I got to start bearing fruit over here. There's a constant abiding in Christ. And as we're staying in him and continuing in him, he's bearing fruit in you. It's happening at the same time. It's not this happens once, well, then I let go, and then he's bearing fruit. You're constantly in him. And as you're constantly relying upon him, hoping in him, believing in him, trusting in him, putting your faith in him, he's bearing fruit in you. So keep that in mind. The place that I want to bring in as well with this is that he goes on to say that if you love me, if you abide in me, and I abide in you, that you'll keep my commandments. And the one commandment that he goes to here in verse 12 is that this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And then he goes on to call us his friends. He calls the disciples his friends. So there's the connectiveness here that I see between abiding in Christ, bearing much fruit, and loving one another. One of the things that I noticed in watching some of the videos about the vineyards and what the vine dresser is doing is as those vines are growing out in the growing season, they're stretching out, they send out these little tentacles or something that I didn't look at the right word for that, but they've got these natural things in them that cling to other things or that hold on to other things. And one of the vine dressers said something that really caught my attention. He said that as those branches are growing, they hold on to one another. They're connected to the trellis. They've been tied. But if there's a storm or something that comes and they're blowing, one of the ways that they're protected is as they're growing amidst each other, they're actually kind of holding on to each other. So they're supporting one another. excuse me. That's a beautiful picture to me. Because I think if you just take this abiding in Christ and leave that alone, I think the thought might be that, well, okay, that's not all that we do. I can't just go around abiding in Christ all day long and I don't do anything else. Excuse me. As we are abiding in him, we need the support of one another. I think that's one thing we've been talking about here for quite some time now is our need for one another as well. Our need to be investing in each other's lives, growing in true friendship, like Jesus said here, that the greatest love that one can give is to lay down his life for his friends. And I was thinking about that over the last couple of days and thinking, well, how can we lay down our lives for our friends in this way? And I think, well, clearly there are physical needs and things that need to be met in each other's lives. And I look out and I see you guys. So that's an encouragement. There is a lot of that going on here, and that is beautiful and that is wonderful. Keep doing that. That is showing that you are abiding in Christ. But I think one other way that we can kind of run over real quick is that spiritually, we're also helping each other abide in Christ. We're encouraging one another to press on to know him, stirring each other up to faith in Christ and good works. We are there to help one another. We need each other. Being married, there's countless times where I may be down in the dumps, but my wife is praying for me. And then I see her example, and that lifts me up. Or another friend in our community group, or another one of you all here on a Sunday, even if I just see you on a Sunday, there's a word that can be spoken that can help encourage you to pick up the pace and to go back into the scriptures, keep clinging to Christ, and to keep moving forward and bearing fruit. It's just a beautiful picture to me. This real earthy metaphor that Jesus is using here about being a true vine, his Father pruning us perfectly, carefully, in the right season, in the right way, and us bearing much fruit in him and loving one another. It's just a very, very powerful picture to me. Also, kind of going back a little bit, I'd skipped over this. There's one way to be an encouragement of how to look at the scriptures in a way to abide in Christ. This was just something I did this week, and it was really helpful and really good. Just do a word study. I mean, most everybody may have like an ESV app on your phone. People used to use like a Knaves Topical. I think that's like King James or something, so you may not want to go there. But I just looked up in Christ, like, so it just pulls up passages that use the phrase in Christ. And there are countless passages that it will bring up that show you who you are in him, what his love for you is in him. Just to give a few examples, Romans 6:11 says, "So you must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." Romans 8:1, "There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." 1 Corinthians 4:1-4, "The grace of God has been given to you in Christ Jesus." So these are all things that all benefits, all giftings, all of these things are given to you in him. I mean, he's lavished us with graces and gifts. We can't just stop at a little knowledge of him. There's so much to know about him because we love him. This is a great one. I think this one has always been really helpful to me. Galatians 3:13-14. "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree,' so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith." I mean, there it is again. I mean, this language is all over the scriptures. John isn't the only one that uses this language. Being in Christ, having the promised Spirit in you, this is a major, major theme all throughout the scriptures. And then there's that imagery again. Cursed is him who hangs on a tree. There's the vine with the arms out. And I think also in loving one another, this picture of Jesus, all of the branches abiding in him. So it's, if you could just even imagine, if these two arms go out to the beginning of time, to the first believers that ever were, to in the future, any believer that God will ever make, we are all branches in this one vine. We've been united to one another as well. We're united in Christ, And that unites us to one another. I mean, we are family. And this is just so amazing to me to think that he's got all that power to hold up every branch that's ever been, that ever will be, and including us right here, right now, we are all abiding in him. That's love. And that's a mystery, but it's amazing. One of the verses that I thought really showed this was Galatians 3:26-28. And this is really thinking about our how we're united to one another now. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. So our identity now is in him. We are united to one another, and we can look out and see each other as brothers and sisters in Christ and help each other press into him and press forward in our lives together. One of the verses I wanted to kind of finish up with here, and there's also some really good imagery here with this, is in Ephesians 3:14-19. And Paul says this again so well, just this imagery. Remember, abide in me and I in you. In Ephesians 3:14-19, Paul says this to the believers there and really to us here. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That right there, and going back to the John 15 passage, talking about God being glorified, when he sees that we're abiding in Christ and we're bearing fruit, therefore we prove to be his disciples, and that glorifies God the Father, and then knowing that there's a knowledge of Jesus Christ that surpasses knowledge. This isn't just, so like, again, I'm hoping I'm saying this right, like where it's understandable. This goes beyond just looking at the scriptures intellectually. This is a relational knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is knowing him as a person in his work, what he's done and what he's doing in you, what he will do in the future. It's a knowledge that goes beyond head knowledge only into experiential knowledge of him. And that's what Paul says. I mean, he's praying that we would have that knowledge of him, that experiential knowing of him, walking with him, loving him, and that we would experience the fullness of God in that. That's amazing, and that's encouraging to me. This is not, again, it's not a list of 1, 2, and 3, do this, and like meant to bog you down. This is like John, or like Jesus says in John, this is meant that you would have joy in him. We're to have joy in him. This is the, I mean, we've been given a love, shown a love by God when we deserved hell. We did not deserve his mercy, but he loved us first, and he sent his only son to die for you and me, that we might have eternal life in him. I mean, we're just getting started here, really. We have eternal life now, and we're moving forward in that now together. So as we go from here, and my thought would be in this next year, resolve to abide in him. Pray that God would help the scriptures be a delight to you. to open up to read. That we wouldn't just read them to understand doctrine only, but that we'd read them to know a person, to know God, and read them prayerfully, like he says, if we ask anything in his name. And that, you know, that doesn't mean, you know, you're praying for a Corvette or something. When we're praying, if we're abiding in Christ, we're going to be praying in God's will and the things that he would really have us to be praying for. So, again, let's help one another this next year. Let's seek to press forward into Christ. Let's gather ourselves together. Let's sacrifice our time at times, our personal time, things that we want to do at times, to be with each other, to help each other press on into Christ. So I hope this has been helpful. I'm finishing up a little short of time here. We'll figure something out. So let's pray, and we'll go from there. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this picture that Christ Jesus shows us here in John chapter 15, Lord, that he is the true vine. You are the vine dresser. Lord, we are the branches. You bear fruit in us by abiding in him, that we can love one another. Lord, we pray that you would help these things be realities to us. Help us, Lord, to abide in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to have a love for you, to remember that we have the Holy Spirit indwelled in us. Lord, that we would help one another to look to you and to grow in this vine. Lord, help us not to be deceived. Help us not to be in some kind of false vine that is not you, some just religious vine that really has no life in it, Lord. We want to be abiding in Christ Jesus. It's the only way. Lord, we pray that you would help us stir up our hearts this next year to love you and to walk with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.